This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9, 7:46 in the morning with me, Koo Soo Chuang and Philip C. Now, 25th January 2022 is basically the two-year anniversary of when our first case of COVID landed on Malaysian shores. And we are asking all Malaysians of all colour and stripe on BFM's Twitter page this morning, what's been the biggest revelation of the pandemic?
Yeah, and the options are low healthcare investment, deep income inequality, or kita jaga kita, or others. Please tell us. Now, overwhelmingly, 48% say it's kita jaga kita, and then followed by one-third saying deep income inequality, compared to just 16% saying low healthcare investment.
Interesting. So anyway, moving on to the public sector, and of course on Saturday, Johor's Sultan Ibrahim, Sultan Iskandar, consented to dissolve the State Legislative Assembly and pave the way for snap state elections. Rumours have been flying about this possibility after the death of Kempas Assembly person, Dato' Haji Osman Sapian. So the BNPN state government holds a one-seat majority in the State Assembly, 28-27.
With the State Legislative Assembly dissolved, the Election Commission will have to meet soon to decide on a date for snap polls, which must be held in 60 days. Now, with Undi 18 being officially gazetted since January 16th, this election will see more than 750,000 new voters able to cast their ballots. This brings the state's total voters to about 2.5 million compared with 1.8 million in GE14. Wow. How will the election turn out? Might we see another walkover for UMNO like Melaka, or will there be surprises?
Yeah, that's essentially 50% more voters. So to answer these questions and more, we now turn to Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, the research fellow at the Ilam Centre. Doc, good morning. Now, of course, the Johor MB, Dato' Hasni Mohamad, said state elections were necessary for the state government to get a fresh and strong mandate to intensify development. What do you make of this explanation, given that GE15 could be around the corner? Why not wait for GE15?
Morning, Gretchen. I think it is a very much a weak excuse given by MB of Johor, Dato' Sri Hasni, on the reason why a snap election must be called in Johor. He's using very much stability and looking for more development, he said, for the need for the election. Obviously, I think the need for election is very much from UMNO's side, where they want to riding the momentum that what they get from Melaka, one. And secondly, I think they want to go to PRU with a better moral boosting if they can capture back Johor. And then they are quite confident now, as it is, that they will get a better position in Johor after the snap election.
So they are tasting blood in the waters, isn't it? And that's why
yes.
You're basically saying all factions within UMNO are pushing for this to happen. Are there any dissenters within UMNO?
Yeah, there is some dissenters within UMNO, but I think now, when we look at UMNO, I think the faction that's very much dominating UMNO now is very much the president faction or the court cluster, where they get what they want in Melaka. They run solo. They didn't work with anybody and they get the election. And now they get the election in Johor. That's what they demand from the same faction. And now I think the next, definitely, they want to have a PRU, a general election, as soon as possible, maybe even before July.
So of course, Doc, Johor UMNO Deputy Chief Dato' Noor Jazlan said there was no need for UMNO and BN to cooperate with PAS for the state elections. But of course, PAS has said that the party will negotiate with UMNO and other friendly parties. So what is your sense of the Mufakat Alliance? Is it still alive or dead in the water?
I think, obviously, for Mufakat National, I don't see there is a need for that. And obviously, I think it's already dead, almost to get buried as soon as possible. I think that's what's happening now for Mufakat National. Looking in Johor, definitely passed with only one seat in Johor and never really making a remark in the state. I don't think UMNO want to very much work with them. But maybe in other state, PAS can pull some string, but not in Johor. So with that, I think I'm strongly believe that for this state election, UMNO will stick with the BN brand.
So you're saying basically Johor is just a repeat of Melaka, right? It's basically
yes.
UMNO BN versus Bersatu joining forces with PAS.
Yes, I think so. Yep.
What about Bersatu's chances in Johor, Doc? Tan Sri Muhyiddin is a long-time MP and Johor, traditionally a stronghold. Could his performance as Prime Minister taint his chances, do you think?
This is interesting. I think definitely in Johor, the fight that everybody is watching is between BN and PN. If PAS work together with Bersatu. I think that we're going to see a very interesting situation. For us, we are looking for Ilham Center, we are looking around 17 to 19 seats where the contestation between the two will, I think, will determine who will control the state government. Obviously, for Muhyiddin Yassin, he's still popular. He's very much popular. I think his performance being prime minister, I think, doesn't affect much on his popularity within in Johor particularly. But at the same time, I think UMNO are gaining ground, but we are not sure how much ground UMNO is gaining since 2018. Obviously, as it is now, I think there is some sense of overconfidence for UMNO for calling for the state election. Because, yes, they can win more seats compared to 2018, but to what extent they can form government by their own or even get two-thirds as they promised. So this is a big challenge. For Bersatu, I think it's going to be tough for Bersatu to maintain the seat that they have now, around 11. But I think if they can get around 7 and 8, I think they'll be happy.
Yeah, of course, you know, talking about UMNO, Tan Sri Zahid Hamidi facing his charges in High Court, he's now got an answer to all 47 charges because the court has found a case in all those cases. You know, do you think that will taint his chances in any way, shape or form where Johor is concerned?
I don't think so. I think looking at what's happened in Malacca, for example, even in Malacca, surprisingly, the faces of UMNO, the main faces of UMNO was Bosku, was Najib during the campaign in Malacca. So I think the same thing will happen in Johor. Najib and Zahid will definitely be the main faces. But obviously, I think that issue will become a main issue for the opposition, for PN or even for PH in that matters. But I think in regard to campaign of UMNO, I think they will run away from the issues of court cluster and others. But I don't think it will affect much on UMNO performance in Johor.
Yeah, Doc, how does one explain that? Because does that mean that, you know, there are certain parts of the electorate that don't believe that, you know, these graft and corruption charges amount to anything? How does one read into that?
Okay, this is interesting. It's not that they don't believe. I think first, if you look, I think for them, basically, they still, for me, believe more on that kind of conspiracy theory and prosecution by selective prosecution in regard to UMNO. That secondly, I think they are very much looking in terms of that they are the best devil that's around for UMNO. So I think this is what UMNO has been doing, saying that, okay, maybe some of the leaders are tainted, but UMNO as it is are intact and performing well. So in that basis, in my point of view, looking at the subsection of electorate, yes, you are right, some of them are very much in denial, saying that they can't accept what's happened. But most of them are very much, in my point of view, have a very much contradicting values when it comes to politics.
Best devil, huh? Well, I want to just get your perspective then on Pakatan Harapan. They had disastrous outcomes in Malacca and Sarawak. Mm. Will we see a repeat in Johor? And will this be three strikes and you're out for certain leaders in Pakatan Harapan?
I think this is so far that what we notice in the ground. It seems that what's happened in Malacca is going to be repeated again in Johor for Pakatan Harapan, unless and until something drastic happens within the leadership of Pakatan. I think even now, after Malacca, I think on Ibrahim yesterday, after the announcement of that SBR going to have a meeting on Johor on the 9th of February, I know Ibrahim mentioned that they cannot decide. They will contest under what banners. I think this is a big issue, similar to Malacca. So meaning they are still bothered with the same problems. Can they show a united front as what happened in 2018? I don't think so. In Johor, in my point of view, the leading definitely is DAP, but at the same time, Amanah have a very better seat compared to PKR in Johor. So to what extent, PKR can really squeeze PH as they squeeze them in Malacca is a big question mark. But as you said, I think Johor will be a very much acid test for leadership of Pakatan Harapan. I think this is the last battle that they really have to prove that it's still worth to be the leaders for the general elections soon.
Yeah, and Doc, the big unknown here is the 750,000 new voters, the young voters. That's a more than 50% jump in the electorate for Johor. What is your sense of how these, this new segment might vote?
Okay, this is very interesting, Kichuan. For us, when we look at most of the seats in Johor, most of them gain around 40 to 50% numbers of voters for each constituency. So that numbers can definitely influence the result. However, the challenge with that is, I think around 60% are new registered voters, meaning they are over 18 and they just being automatically registered. So they never perform. So to an extent, this group can or suddenly interested in politics and go to the voting booth, I think that's still a big question mark. And the same too with the youth. So, however, when we look at things, even if the youth or that group turn out around 10 to 20%, I think it will strongly influence the result because more around 8 seats in Johor, the margin is below 1,000 a vote. So with that, I think any numbers, any increase in certain sections of voter definitely will impact the result. And obviously the youth will have a big say in this matter.
Okay, Doc, last question. As you know, we're going to ask you this. I know it's too early to say, but for sure, what's your prediction?
On the papers, AMNO definitely have a better position compared to others, meaning Barisan Nasional. But I think to an extent, they can form the government or even win two-thirds, I think still big question mark. But I think Johor will be differently, will have a different contest compared to Melaka.
Okay, that was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, research fellow at Ilam Centre. Very interesting. So in summation, I think Johor might turn out to be like Melaka and it's a kind of like a BN walkover, but for the fact that there's a big unknown in the new voters.
Yes, I think that's going to be a game changer, whether the game will change for Pakatan Harapan by confirming that they have basically lost the plot after losing three consecutive elections, or whether this is really a pathway for BN to remain in government.
That's the second takeaway. It's kind of like Custer's last stand, right? Pakatan Harapan, this is your last chance.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.